What value can you place on a life that is eternally changed? What if that life were your loved one? Pastor George Pearsons and Mac and Sandra Gober share about the lives touched and changed by the power of a loving God next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Pastor George Pearsons. It's the last day of our broadcast week. Mac and Sandra Gober, Canaan Land Ministries in Autaugaville, Alabama. And what a time this has been. It's gone by so quickly.
I'm telling you.
But your testimony is one that is just absolutely inspiring to all of us. What God can do with an individual whose life had literally gone to hell, and He was able to resurrect your life, bring it back, connect you with a beautiful woman.
Yes.
I mean, Mac, you and I are both extremely blessed.
That's right, brother. We married way over our heads, as they say. Yeah, no, I am so blessed and fortunate that Sandra's a part of my life, and she's the perfect balance in my life. God knows what He's doing.
He knows what He's doing. And the great thing, too, about the two of you marrying is that you have the same vision that Mac has for Canaan Land Ministries and how that ministry was birthed and just what you two saw in Canaan Land. Tell us a little bit about the birthing of Canaan Land and some of the work that's being done. And I don't want to forget this, but you told me several times already that there are some of the men that come to Canaan Land that have been sentenced there.
Right.
Sentenced to Canaan Land.
That's right.
As opposed to being sentenced to jail.
To prison.
To prison.
Yeah. We have such a success record today, and that many court systems, and not just in Alabama, but throughout the United States, will actually sentence a man to Canaan Land. Mm-hmm. He's got to, if he leaves, he goes to prison, and sometimes 5 or 10 years. And so it's a motivator to keep them there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they've never been faced with so much love, and love never fails.
Praise God.
And so we get the opportunity to love on these men for a whole year, and to see them finally get their children back and families getting put back together, to us, that's the joy of what we do, is just seeing God do a miracle.
I saw it when I was there preaching to the guys at a chapel not too long ago, and just to look at those men, and they were so receptive to the Word, so tender to the Lord, and just to think what their lives were like before that, and that's the vision that the Lord has given you. Tell me, Sandra, a little bit about the birthing of Canaan Land.
Well, when Canaan Land got started, Mac had in his heart worked for Teen Challenge to help young men. Mm-hmm. And when we got married and God moved us to Montgomery, Alabama area, God just opened up the door for us to start Canaan Land Ministries. And part of it was what you read in the very beginning out of the book.
Mm-hmm. And if a man came up and gave you $1 million, what would you do with
it? What would you do with it? And he said, I'd call it Canaan Land. Well, we went back home that night after that statement, and he said, we're going to start Canaan Land. Well, that was in January of 81. Well, the vision was, we didn't know what to do. Mac was traveling and preaching. Mm-hmm. Well, in June of 81, he brought his first student home, unexpected, and just showed up with them.
Surprise.
And he said, we're starting in our home. And I said, I thought we were raising money to buy a place, you know?
Yeah.
And he said, no, we're going to start in our home. And so by the end of the year, we had how many? I don't even know. Quite a few, six, seven, eight, living in our house. And he went looking for bunk beds. And so when he found bunk beds, we were able to fit more, obviously, in our house because we had four or five bunk beds in one big room in this house we were renting. So we had 10 there, and then we had some in the basement. So by the time we found Canaan Land, and the whole story of Canaan Land's in the book, and we found the place called Canaan Land, and we moved out there, we already had 12, I think, to start with.
Right in the house.
Right from the house, into Canaan land.
So you had those from Canaan land in the house as well as the kids.
We started in our house. We had all three of our children in one bedroom.
Wow.
Well, we had two of our children in one bedroom. I was pregnant with Joshua. When we moved out on the land, we moved on the land in June of 82.
Okay.
In September the 8th, I had Joshua.
So you were starting at the house and then took it on out to the property.
Yes.
And then from the property, and I've been there, I've seen the old building and now the new facility.
That's right. Yep.
What a tremendous improvement that is. But I know that anything would have been great to start with.
Yep.
Out
start
there.
With.
And so you began really in earnest on the property in 82. Yeah. And so what has happened since then? What's going on at Canaan land now?
Well, just continuous growth. The Lord told me to hold fast to what He called me to do. Don't change. There's such a temptation as years go by to get into a lot of different things. There are a lot of opportunities come your way.
Yeah.
But God kept reminding me what my purpose was and that my commitment was to keep a guy there for 1 year and help him get his high school education, learn a trade, and then get grounded in the Word of God. Because you can get somebody and you can put them in a program, a 28-day program, 60-day program,
right.
But if they don't have time to renew their mind to the Word of God,
it takes time.
It takes time.
Yeah.
And that's what God showed me. It takes at least a year. Mm-hmm. And if a guy will pay attention, that's where it'll work. And let me just add that, you know, the reason that we started taking guys in their house, when we first moved to that area, I was hired as a principal of a Christian school. And I was there for 12 weeks, and the pastor, without warning, fired me. He called me in and said, "We got to let you go." I said, "Well, I just got here." I mean, they helped move me. I mean, they went up and got me, and so, there was a church split coming. Everybody was upset. And I got up on a Wednesday night, and I told the church, I said, "I ain't going nowhere. This is my pastor. We're going to tithe. We're going to stay right here until God shows me what to do."
Yep.
And I said, "Don't be talking about my pastor." And, of course, they was going, "What? I mean, he just fired you." I said, "That's right." But I said, "God's my source."
Yes.
"Not this church."
That's right.
"God's my source, not this pastor." And I said, "I have learned I can trust God anywhere in the world." So I said, "God taught me to trust Him, sow seed away from myself, and expect miracles."
Praise God.
And then 3 days later, after being fired, Canaan land was birthed.
Canaan land was born.
And that guy that mentioned that about the money, if I had more money, I was thinking, this cat's fixing to write me a big old fat check. You know, I'm going,
he just
lay it on
me,
brother. I feel you, you know. I mean, I was getting all excited, you know. But he didn't write nothing. He didn't write no check. And we left, me and Sandra, we drove home that night. And on the way home, that's when I looked at her and I said, "Honey, we don't need any money. We got God."
That's right.
And I said, "That's all that we need." And I said, "We'll start in our own home." And she was okay with it because she had told me, and this is one of the reasons I love her so much, and that our marriage is so much of God. You know, she said, "Mac, as long as I know that you've heard from God, I don't care if it's Africa, the jungles, I'll go wherever you go, as long as I know that you're listening to God." And
trust the Lord and your husband, don't you?
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the key.
Well, let me put you on the spot here for a minute.
Come on,
both of you.
Bring it on.
I want you to tell us, Mac, you can tell us one, and Sandra, you can tell us one of the most outstanding transformations that you've witnessed out of one of the men. And I know there have been many, but just tell us one outstanding testimony that you has really connected with your heart. Sandra, what's one of them that you can share with us?
If you don't, I'll go first. I mean,
why don't
I got
you
one.
You go first.
All right.
Mac, why don't you tell us one of those?
Well, for me, there was a couple. The guy that had come to me, his wife had told him, "Don't you ever bring drugs back in this house. We're through with drugs."
Yeah.
And so she met him. She said, because if you try to bring drugs back in, I'm going to shoot you. And so she saw him go to the car out there, and then the car pulled away, and he's walking back into the house. She said, I told you, don't you ever come back in this house with drugs. So she lowered a 12-gauge shotgun and blowed his guts out. I mean, bam, one shot. And so he's laying there, and she goes, oh, my God. So the ambulance is coming. They got him to the emergency room. They sewed him back up. His stomach looked like spaghetti, man, just sewed up. Blew his arm off. He's just kind of hanging there, you know. And so they put pins in. He never could straighten it out or anything. And so he comes to Canaan, and she went to prison. It was, of course, a divorce. You know, they didn't make it. And so I would go down there about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'd flip his light switch on, and I'd say, John, love is more powerful than hate. And I said, you know, you can forgive that woman. He'd sit up in bed. He said, Mac, the woman shot me. She tried to kill me. I said, I know, man, but I said, I'm telling you, love is more powerful than hate. I said, you can wreck your life forever if you stay on this mode. Yeah. I said, you got to learn to forgive that woman and pray for her. I said, God can even restore your marriage. And he said, now, Mac, that's just going too far. And I said, all right. And I cut the light out on him, I'd leave. Mm-hmm. He'd stay up there all night long, sitting there on the edge of his bed, going, love is more powerful than hate. Well, 7 months went by. I come walking down the big courtyard there at Canaan Land, and I look down there, and there's this guy talking to a woman. I didn't know who she was. And I walked up there, and I had affectionately named her Shotgun Annie. And I'm sitting there, and I walk up to him. I said, who are you talking to? And I looked over, and I said, Shotgun Annie. I said, man. Well, he forgave her. They got married again.
Oh, praise God.
And ended up, he ended up being the director of Canaan Land. He was one, our first.
Glory to God.
Director of Canaan Land. Him and his wife, and she felt so bad at what she did, she ended up being a nurse. And,
Just in case she shot him again.
Yeah, that's another. Well, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
That is, love is greater than hate.
It is.
And that is truly someone who shot you.
Yeah, oh yeah. I got another one where Exhale's Angle. Well, I mean,
can he tell
then,
his story? Do you have
yes,
a story?
No.
Another one about love more powerful than hate.
Okay.
This guy, he was a full patch holder with the 1%er gang. Mm-hmm. And I had a buddy of mine who at that time was the international boss of one of the largest, most powerful motorcycle gangs in all of Canada at that time. He weighed 427 pounds. Mm. Immediately, people already know who I'm talking about that's in that biker world. They know who I'm talking about. They know his name. His picture is in my book, and we're standing there together. But he had called me, and he had heard about me. I'd heard about him. And so I was in Canada, and he came, and we met. And we were like two little schoolers. I mean, we were just, oh, my God, we was giggling and laughing. You know, I wanted to ask him about what kind of motorcycle he rode, but then I didn't because he'd asked me what kind I rode, and I didn't want to tell him. And so we had a great time. Ended up being great friendship. So several years goes by, he calls me and says, I'm getting married. I want you to come and spend a week with me and teach me how to treat a lady like a lady. So I went up there, had a great time. We went to one of those fly-in fishing camps, had a great time, got back home to Alabama. Several weeks went by, and then I get a phone call, and they said, Brother Mac, Dougie's been shot. I said, say what? I mean, I had just left him up there, they said, yeah, Dougie's been shot. Three hit him in the gut, one in the shoulder, one in his good leg. He got one leg that's bad. It got tore off in a motorcycle, so he got one wooden leg. And it's great to have a buddy with a wooden leg. You'd be out there at nighttime, fire crackling, everybody sitting around, and you pull out a gun, bam, you shoot him in the leg. Everybody go, oh, my God, that's just a wooden leg. You know? And so anyway, that's another story. And so try to get him in a plane. You got to pull his leg off. Pilots freak out when they do that. But so I said, well, when's the funeral? And they said, well, there's not going to be one. I said, what do you mean it's not going to be one? They said, well, we don't know what happened, but man, the guy lived. Well, I get in touch with Doug, and you know, here's the neat thing. I had spent a week with him teaching him the power of love. Mm. And so the guys that shot him, they left, went right back across the border back into America because they didn't want to obviously get busted for murder. But this is what he prayed. Now he's laying there, blood flowing out of him. The ambulance is on the way. And he said, "Lord, don't be mad at that guy. He's just doing what he thought was right. But save him and fill him full of love like you did me." Wow. That was his prayer. I mean, you got couples that fight over toothpaste, man. You squeeze the toothpaste on the wrong end again, Charlotte. You know, I mean, my God, they got a little small wars in the house over that. And here a guy's been shot, left to die. Yeah. And he's praying for the guy that just shot him.
That's extreme.
So 3 years goes by, and he calls me. He says, "Mac, meet me in Sturgis. I got something I want to show you." So we get there, and he pulls out this letter.
Yeah.
And it's the guy that shot him 3 years earlier. It said, "I've just given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ."
Praise God.
Said, "Jesus is real. It's not jailhouse religion." And he was a full patch holder with a big biker gang, gave his life to the Lord, and now I'm that guy's pastor.
Praise God.
The guy that shot my buddy.
Praise God.
Me and him are preaching buddies. I'm sorry.
You know.
I got more.
You really have made an impression of a massive impression on the lives of these young people. And there's one in particular that we prepared a story on, Pastor Phil.
Oh,
he's now
yeah.
the pastor of the church.
Right.
He and I got to be real, real close when he came out here when you preached.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing to look at an individual like that now and to see how God has completely changed his life.
Oh, boy.
He went through Canaan land.
Yep.
He came in a mess.
That's right.
Wasn't he? He was.
Yeah, big time. Big drug kingpin dealer down in Tampa, Florida.
Wow.
And that would have been the one I would have chosen, but because short, I wouldn't have to explain it because you're fixing this.
Yeah, we're going to show it. So
when he first came in, every other word was a cuss word.
Yeah,
it was usually the F word, and he had to clean up his mouth and all that, and he was going to lose his wife if he didn't straighten up.
Well, this has a happy
end. This was his last chance, and he got it at Canaan Land.
Let's see how this story ends up. Take a look at this story of Pastor Phil.
Phil Bevilacqua is a man with a past. He grew up in Florida, raised by his single mom, who could not control this rebellious and stubborn young man.
I had started selling drugs at a very young age in high school so I could get mine for free. Ended up becoming a very successful, if you can call it successful, drug dealer in the St. Pete, Tampa area. Got married to my beautiful wife. And then a few years after that, I became my best customer, and things went downhill very fast. She had ended up leaving me as a tough love maneuver, that if you keep going the way you're going, this is how life's gonna be with me not there. And so she moved to Arizona, I was in Florida, she moved with her mom. So at that point in time, I figured life was over, nothing to live for. My friends don't want to be around me, my family doesn't want to be around me, and now my wife's getting a restraining order, so I don't have anything to live for. Put a shotgun in my mouth, put my toe on the trigger, and then I saw my dog who looked me right in the eyes. And so I love my dog enough that I couldn't kill myself in front of the dog, so I chickened out. And then tried to kill myself for the next 3 months on overdose. And every morning I would pass out and I would wake up going, "Gosh, I'm still alive." And hindsight again is that was God's grace, that he had something for me to do. And this whole time I'd been talking about Canaan Land, hearing about Canaan Land, never gonna go anywhere for a year, definitely not going to Alabama. You know, this wasn't gonna do that. So I finally make a decision to go there because there's nothing left for me to do and I can't kill myself. I've run out of money and I can't get anything else. So let's try this last resort. Let's try this God thing.
Phil made the trip to Alabama and became a student of Canaan Land Ministries under the direction of Mac and Sandra Gober. This ministry offers a 1-year program entirely free. to men that are ready to become students of the Word of God and establish a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. At the age of 26, Phil Bevilacqua reluctantly grabbed hold of this lifeline.
Ended up getting in the program on Tuesday. I filled with the Holy Ghost on Thursday, and God totally delivered me from heroin, crack, pornography, all the lusts that you could possibly imagine to do with addiction. He delivered me from them just like that. Never went through withdrawals, never had the shakes, never had the sweats. And I mean, I'm talking about $700-$800 a day habit. And after you start to learn some scripture, I find out that the entrance of the Word was bringing light into my life, and it was clearing up the darkness that I was going through. And I just started plowing into this, and it was working. You know, the Word was working in my life. So I was completely open to what was being taught to me. And of course, I'm being taught the Word of Faith, and I'm watching Brother Copeland and Brother Jerry and Brother Jesse, because they're all friends with Brother Mac and partners with the ministry, and our library is full of their tapes. And I'm just watching and feeding and listening, and I'm writing and telling my wife, and she's like, who is this guy writing these letters?
Phil stayed faithful to the program, and over time, his wife Jonna could see that real changes had taken place. God restored their marriage, and Jonna moved to Alabama and supported Phil through the completion of the program. Following graduation from Canaanland, the Bevilacquas moved to Oklahoma for the next 2 years and attended Rhema Bible College as full-time students. With their degrees in hand, Phil and Jonna were now ready to return to Alabama to serve the ministry as staff members. Phil has worked faithfully under Matt Gober for 9 years and now holds the positions of Director of Canaanland Ministries and Pastor of Voice of Victory Church, while Jonna serves in the partner department. The Bevilacqua family has prospered, and Phil and Jonna are now the parents of two beautiful children. They are grateful every day for God's direction and intervention in their lives.
I would be dead or in jail if it wasn't for Canaanland as a place to go. I mean, it's such a sound foundation that you get at Canaanland. You know, 3 classes a day, 5 days a week at Bible college, and you learn this stuff so fast because it's just being pumped into you. You know, the average is it would take a person that goes to church on Sunday and Wednesday, it would take them 30 years to get what we get in 1 year at Canaanland. And then you come to find out that, hey, somebody has to pay for all this. You know, who pays for all this food? Who pays for those, you know, 15 air conditioners around the outside? Who pays for all of this stuff? And then you find out about partnership. Oh, partners pay for it. Because clueless, I don't know. I just know that I'm here. But as you start to go through, you start to see that partners that believe in Brother Mac and what him and Miss Ander are doing, they sow money each month to be able to pay for a loser like me to get off of drugs and to get a Bible education and to be able to get his wife back and to be able to have a family and to be able to live life. And then I come to find out that Brother Copeland's a huge partner. And I'm like, he doesn't know me from anybody. But you see, he's saved my life. We all know that it's Jesus, but there's men that Jesus uses. And without the men that are obedient, then Jesus' work doesn't get done.
And Phil, you came from a man who had no hope. You had no future. Nope. You wanted to end your life.
Tried, often, weekly.
How would you describe your life today?
Oh, geez. There's no way to describe it. I mean, life is wonderful. We have a great relationship. Our kids are top notch. I mean, it's really storybook. It really is.
This is storybook. That's what Pastor Phil said. And really, it's God moving in the lives of these men like God moved in your life. How thrilled we are at what the Lord has done for you and in you, and how thrilled we are in what now the Lord is doing through Canaanland. And we know that it does take partnership. It does take support for us all to do the work that we're called to do. You know, Brother Copeland, a number of years ago, said that the Lord ministered to him and said, give 10% off the top of all the income that comes into Kenneth Copeland Ministries to other ministries. And so part of that 10% has gone to other ministries, has gone to your ministry.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'd like to ask, Mac, if you would receive the offering for Kenneth Copeland Ministries today. It is offering day on the broadcast. And just share with us about this offering today.
Amen. Well, I think you can already see the evidence, and that's what it takes. Like, you go to court, you need evidence. And you've seen a ton of evidence of what you as partners have done to help change lives. And that's Kenneth and Gloria's heart, to reach, I mean, the world from the top to the bottom and all the way around. And something I learned from Kenneth a long time ago, Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men, plural. Didn't say saved men, didn't say unsaved men. It said men, plural, shall give into your bosom. And when you do that, you're sowing seed. I didn't know for a while, Oral Roberts, I thought maybe at first they were trying to get money from me, but it was guys like Oral Roberts and Kenneth Copeland that was trying to get me money so I could turn around and help people too. Mm. And you saw the evidence of it today. That's why when we get the opportunity to give our best, to sow our best, especially into a ministry like this that truly, literally is touching a world from the top to the bottom and all the way around. I mean, I've had the privilege of seeing eyewitness people's lives touch whole ministries, orphanages around the world because of your partnership. So why don't you sow your best seed today?
Praise God.
And learn what I learned. Take the man of God that he's trying to help us and bless us, giving us the opportunity to sow our best into the kingdom of God through Kenneth and Gloria KCM Ministries. I love you so much. Thank you. It's been a great week being
Praise
with you, Pastor
God.
George.
Mac and Sandra, thank you so
Amen.
Much for being with us. We love you guys, and we love you too. And remember this, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For a copy of this week's broadcasts, go to kcm.org or call or write to us today. Visit kcm.org to download Mac and Sandra Gober's powerful message entitled, Victory Over Vietnam. If you need prayer, we're only a phone call away.